This morning we're looking at a text that isn't traditionally a Palm Sunday passage. But as you might recall, for the last few weeks we have journeyed back into the catacombs of church history, traveled back about 1900 years to the city of Rome and to a group of Christians who were living in a time and a place that was not friendly to the followers of Jesus. And those early Christians produced a statement to affirm their faith. They used it whenever a new convert would come into their community. This new convert would be baptized as Jesus had instructed. And the new convert would use these words as his or her affirmation statement of what they believed. And this statement has come down to us through the centuries. It's had some revision through the centuries, but we know it as the Apostles' Creed. And this morning, we're looking at a statement in that creed that says, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. And so the scripture passage we're looking at today is Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. Now, without a doubt, the single phrase in the Apostles' Creed that has raised the most questions in the minds of churchgoers over the years is this little phrase, the Holy Catholic Church. Numerous times throughout the years, I've had someone grab me after a worship service and say, hey, Mayo, you know, I always wondered about this. We are Presbyterian, aren't we? And I'd say, yeah. And then they'd say, well, then why do we say we believe in the Catholic Church? Well, when we say the words Catholic Church, we're not talking about a denomination or a branch of Christianity. We're not talking about the Roman Catholic Church. In the creed, you'll notice that the word Catholic is spelled with a lowercase c. The word Catholic simply means universal. When we say I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, we are saying that I believe in the universal Church of Jesus Christ wherever and whenever it may be found. I believe in the church that was alive when the Apostle Paul traveled around the Mediterranean sharing the good news. I believe in the church of Augustine and of Thomas Aquinas and John Knox and Mother Teresa and Billy Graham and on and on. Whenever and wherever people worship Jesus as Lord, there is the Holy Catholic Church. Now this little phrase, Holy Catholic Church, reminds us that the church is not a building located at 189 Church Street just off the square in beautiful Marietta, Georgia. It is not bricks and mortar. After all, the early Christians didn't even have the bricks and mortar. They didn't have buildings to worship in that were specifically dedicated for as a church of Jesus Christ. Those buildings, church buildings, didn't come along for many decades, even probably more than a century after people started gathering in the name of Jesus. The church is flesh and blood. Men and women, boys and girls, infused and empowered by the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. So the church isn't that wall right there that is holding up the roof that is above your heads. It's rather that person who is sitting down the row from you and the people sitting in the choir loft this morning. The Holy Catholic Church is the people in who are gathering in Ghana today under a grove of trees to worship Jesus. Those gathering in a tent in the sands of Egypt to sing the songs of praise. Those who are assembling today in a stained glass cathedral in Europe to proclaim Jesus as Lord. Those who are coming together this day in a house in China to bear witness to the saving power of Christ. Wherever and whenever people are worshiping and serving Jesus and proclaiming His Lordship, there is the Holy Catholic Church. If you want to know what this church looks like, don't look at the building on Church Street. If you want to know what it looks like, I'll tell you right now. Listen to the very first description of the very first Christian church in Jerusalem here in Acts chapter 2. This is the paradigm. This is the template for the church. And as you listen to these words, I want you to look for and take note of, mental note of, the descriptive qualities, the characteristics of this church. Hear God's word now from Acts 2. They devoted themselves, that is the very first followers of Jesus. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Now, did you notice those characteristics of that early church? Did you catch the template? They paid close attention to. They were nurtured by the apostles' teaching. They had fellowship. They broke bread and prayed together. There was this sense of awe. Wonders and signs were present among them. The believers were together. They had things in common. They gave. They gave freely. They met together. They ate together. They were glad and sincere, and they were growing. The question is, does the church today look like the template? Does FPC Marietta look like the template? You all probably know that party game. You've probably played it before. It's been around for decades and decades, maybe a century or more. It's that game that's been used as an icebreaker, been used at youth meetings forever, where one person will whisper a phrase into the ear of another person, and then that person will whisper the same phrase into another person's ear, and it'll go on and on and on all around the room until the very last person gets the phrase, and then they're asked to repeat it. And invariably, it will be a different message that they will repeat. It will be virtually unrecognizable after it goes through all of those iterations. And so the question is the church of the 21st century, the church in Marietta, Georgia, recognizable with the church that we have described here in Acts chapter 2, or have we undergone so many iterations that it is hard to identify us with the original? You see, here's the rub. We worry about the word Catholic in the creed. Let me tell you, that's not the hard word. The real rub is the word holy. I believe in the holy Catholic Church. If the church is the people and not the steeple, how can the church possibly be holy? The word holy in the original language of the Bible, of the New Testament, is virtually the same word as saint. They're practically identical, the same root word. The saints are the holy ones. And in the New Testament, the saints are the members of the church of Jesus Christ. That's how the word is used in the New Testament. In other words, you are the saints. You're a saint, you're a saint, you're a saint, you're saints. We're the saints. Now, I know that might be a stretch for some of us. I mean, you might be looking around the room today and thinking, well, I can see how I could call her a saint. She's kind-hearted and gentle and caring, but him? You know, I've got a word to describe him, and it ain't saints. Now, if that's what you're thinking, be careful, because somebody might be looking at you. But did you notice in the creed, right after we say, "I believe in the Holy Catholic Church," the very next thing we say is the communion of saints. The communion of saints. Now that means those who have gone to be with the Lord, who have finished their journey. But that's not all it means. It also means those who are in the midst of their journey right here, right now. You and me. Maybe you heard about the little boy who went to summer camp one year, and the camp that he was attending was held on the campus of a Christian college. And every morning they would start the day with a devotion in the college chapel. And the chapel had these beautiful stained glass windows that depicted the lives of the disciples. And the boy loved the way that the sun glistened through those windows every morning. And when the boy returned home from his week at camp, his grandfather asked him what his favorite thing about camp was. And the boy said, "Why, my favorite thing was the saints." And his grandfather said, "The saints? Who are the saints?" And the boy said, "Oh, they're the ones the light shines through." To be the Holy Catholic Church means that we are the saints, and the light of Christ shines through us. The church is not the building on Church Street, it is the people in the building on Church Street. Better yet, it is the people who are sent out of the building on Church Street, who are sent out into the world to shine for Christ. Let me introduce you to two great biblical words that describe the church. The New Testament word for church is the word ecclesia. Some people say ecclesia. It's the same thing, ecclesia. It literally means to be called out. It's a compound word. It comes from two words, ek. Ek is where we get the word exit, to go out. And kaleo, the second half of that word that word comes from, means to call. So the church of Jesus Christ is called out from the world. It is different, it is unique from the rest of the world. But the church is also another New Testament Greek word. And this word defines the church as well, apostolos. It's where we get the word apostle. It means someone who is sent. Literally, someone who is commissioned and sent by another person to deliver a message. So the church is called out from the world, and then the church is sent into the world. You are called out from the world to receive God's grace and instruction, and then you are sent back into the world to share the good news of Christ's redeeming, transforming love with a world in need. We're called out, and then we're sent in. Here at FPC, sometimes we say, "No, grow, go." We come in, called out from the world to know and to grow. And then we're sent into the world to go, to share the good news. We know, we grow, and then we go. You see, the church is God's instrument of salvation to the world. It is the vehicle which Christ has chosen to share His good news of redeeming death and resurrection. Someone described the work that we have this way. We are simply one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. When we realize that we are the church, when we realize that the church of Jesus Christ shows up wherever we go, we start to understand that the church goes into the office and into the grocery store and into the school and into the park, into the home. Wherever you go, the church of Jesus Christ goes, because you, friends, are the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. The church is holy. Catholic, and we're the communion of saints. Sometimes, you know, let's face it, we don't live up to that. Sometimes the church doesn't live up to her calling. The windows through which we should be shining become rather clouded and weather-worn. The light doesn't shine quite so brightly. Reminds me of what happened in the city of Vancouver. It was October 6th, 1909. City of Vancouver, British Columbia. On that day, they got their very first motorized ambulance. No more horse-drawn ambulances for Vancouver. This represented a great step forward in medical care for the citizens of Vancouver. And they were so proud of their very first motorized ambulance that the day that they got it, they decided they'd take it on a test drive around the city. Unfortunately, on the test drive, they hit and killed an American tourist. So the very first passenger in the new ambulance was a corpse that they had to deliver to the morgue because the ambulance had hit and killed the person. On that day, the vehicle that was supposed to bring healing brought death. Does that ever happen with the church? Does that ever happen with us? At times we make mistakes and we fall and we even break the heart of God and we don't reflect His glory. With such weaknesses, how can we possibly say that we are the Holy Catholic Church? Here's how. The church is holy not because we are holy, not because of our goodness, and not because we don't make mistakes and even cause harm to others at times. We are holy because we are in Christ, and His holiness covers our sinfulness and our weakness and our falls and our fallibilities. When we acknowledge Christ as Lord, we are what the Apostle Paul calls in Christ. And it's as though we are this piece of paper right here, and we come to Christ, and Christ is the Word of God. And we come to Christ and we are placed in Him as a believer in Christ. And then we are sealed and bound and clothed in Him. And God the Father from that moment on sees us in Christ. We are the Holy Catholic Church because our Lord is holy, and the Holy Spirit will not let the mission of the church fail. As Jesus said, "Even the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church." Let me leave you with this. There's this great exchange in the Screwtape Letters. Some of you remember the Screwtape Letters, a book written by C.S. Lewis, or as Lewis would put it, a series of letters that happened to fall into his hands. It's letters that are written by a demon named Screwtape to his young nephew Wormwood. Wormwood's assignment is to derail the faith of a new Christian. And Screwtape, who is the older and wiser demon, offers advice to his young nephew demon. And at one point, Screwtape writes this to his nephew about how to handle this Christian who has been assigned to him. He says, "Don't let him ever see the church as we tremblingly see her. Spread out through all time and space and rooted in eternity, terrible as an army with banners." That, my friends, is who we are. Holy Catholic Church, spread out through all time and space and rooted in eternity. And when we're letting the light of Christ shine fully, we indeed are terrible as an army with banners. In the very best sense of that word, terrible to the endeavors of hell. So friends, if you're able, please rise with me now. And Holy Catholic Church, let us confess our faith together. using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Holy Catholic Church, what do you believe?